Our second reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. Listen now for the word of God. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one, and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, so that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, and thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the Christ, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who are near. For through him, both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints, and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us.
Thanks be to God.
It is lovely to be with you this morning. I feel a good connection with your church. I know many people who have worshiped here over the years, and of course know Maggie well. I was on COM when she was examined by us and was here in this very sanctuary at her installation on that joyous evening. September 2006, I believe. Is that correct? I don't know if you remember. But she is a faithful and loving friend, and when she invited me to come and be with you while she's in France, I was delighted. And so forgive me if I'm a little rusty. I haven't preached for 11 months, having retired, but I'm just very happy to be back with you. And this passage that we're looking at this morning is a real beauty, and my heart was blessed as I prepared for this sermon and realized the richness contained just in this small pericope. There's a lot of tension going on between Jews and Gentiles, and it's in this little passage that it gets pulled together. And what we find out when we read this passage is that human creatures are wall builders. We create walls between people that aren't like us. We put up walls to keep things in. We put up walls to keep things out. And sadly, sometimes when we put up these walls, it brings discord and strife. And nothing is more clear to me than that, and all of you as well, I'm sure, than the wall that our country is thinking about building. Our president is pushing for this. He has made promises to do this. And the purpose of this wall is to protect our border, so the rhetoric says. And whether you believe this wall is a good idea or whether you don't think it's a good idea, one thing I think we can all agree on is the conversation has created conflict and hostility and tension. And this conflict involves real people, people that live south of us, people who've been our neighbors and friends. It involves their lives, their families, their children, everything. Many people think that having these people come into our country is a bad thing. Many of them feel like these people will bring in more problems. They will make it dangerous for us to live here. They will taint the culture of our country. We are told that they should not be allowed to cross our border. So as we think about this great wall that is kind of in process, we're trying to decide whose credit card it should be put on. Is Mexico going to pay for it? Are we going to pay for it? This conflict could keep it going for a long time. But does this mean that walls are bad in general? Any wall? Should we never build walls? Well, sometimes walls that we build are for good things. They keep animals where they're supposed to be. Cattle doesn't go into the field. The dog stays in your yard and doesn't go in the neighbor's yard. Your children don't run out into the street. Fences and walls are not evil and bad in and of themselves. But what Paul is talking about in this letter to the Ephesian church is walls that cause hostility. We can think about that. We can think about the Great Wall of China. We can think about the Berlin Wall. We can think about the separation walls in Palestine. These are walls that are based on hostility. And hostility boils down to fear. We're afraid of people that are not like us, people that are different. And so, we build fences. We make laws and we make regulations, and we do this to keep them out. And there's another kind of wall that we build too. We build walls within ourselves, not only external, but inside. They're hidden walls that we keep in faith, in place, faithfully, year after year. And you know, sometimes we have to work really hard to do that. These are the kind of walls that isolate us and separate us from others. And if we look carefully and if we're honest, we realize that we build these walls as well out of fear, the same as our large national physical walls. We think, if they knew what I was really like, they wouldn't accept me. We think, I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not clever enough. We think of all kinds of things that build internal walls. We don't want to look foolish. So we build walls inside to protect ourselves. These, my friends, are the walls that Jesus came to take down. The external ones in our society, the internal ones within ourselves. And the thing that was so illuminating to me as I studied this passage again was that the whole essence of Jesus' ministry could be identified as taking down walls. Jesus is a person who came to remove walls. Have you ever thought of Jesus that way? I have to confess, I hadn't thought of Jesus' work in that way. During Jesus' day, there was a huge wall between Jewish people and between Gentile people. And no good Jewish person would even go near a godless Gentile sinner. No one except Jesus. Gentiles were viewed as the scum of the earth, or worse, if that's possible. Yet Jesus loved them. Jesus loved them with all his heart. Yeah, Jesus had friends that were Jewish, and we would expect that. That would be normal. He was a Jewish male, and he would have friends that were Jewish. But he also had friends on the other side of the wall, friends that were not Jewish. That we would not expect. That was shocking and odd and strange and all of those words that would describe something that people could not understand. And who were these people? They were tax collectors. They were poor people. They were women. They were children. They were people with mental illness. They were people with leprosy. These are all people that good, upstanding Jewish people would not associate with. But Jesus crossed over that dividing wall and was friends with those people. And Jesus showed his followers how to cross over that wall as well. And he did it by telling stories. And one of the stories is about a Samaritan. And Jesus doesn't call him a good Samaritan, but we do. And I think if you went out on Venice Street and you ask anybody what a good Samaritan was, they could easily tell you. Well, friends, Samaritans were on this side of the wall with the Gentiles and the women and the children and the sinners. Samaritans were not good people. And yet Jesus tells this story about a Samaritan. And darn if this Samaritan isn't a good person. What does he do? He helps somebody by the side of the road who might lay there and die if it weren't for his help. The Samaritan is a good person, and it turns the people of Jesus' day around in circles, trying to figure out what in the world Jesus means. Jesus also talked about healing, or also did healing. He actually touched people that had leprosy. He touched people that were blind. He helped people that had mental illness. A good Jew just didn't do that kind of thing. And for a very good reason. If you touched a person who was ill, you touched a person who had sinned. Because they believed that if you had an affliction, it's because you sinned. And if you helped that person, if you touched that person, their sin would come on to you. Jesus didn't pay one bit of attention to that. He was very free to lay his hands on people and to touch them and heal them. Or maybe we recall the time when Jesus met a woman at the well. He spoke to her out in the center of the village. Men did not do that. Men did not speak to women. It was unthinkable, unheard of. And yet, Jesus did it. Jesus did something that no self-respecting, Torah-believing Jew would do. He reached out to a lowly woman. Jesus was showing his followers how he went back and forth between this wall that was built up between the Jewish people and everybody else. Jesus lived to break down the walls of hostility. This is why Jesus came. This undergirds every single thing that Jesus did. It's such an amazing image. It just really is astounding to me, that something so simple and so graphic could be used to describe what Jesus did. Jesus said there is no us and them. We are all together children of God. Jesus spent his life breaking down these walls of his hostility in the name of love. There's a story told of a little girl who had gone to church faithfully with her family, Sunday after Sunday. And one morning she got up on a Sunday morning and she put her hands on her hips and she said to her mother, "I'm not going to church today, and I may not ever go again." And her mother was really surprised and she said, "Well, why aren't you going to go to church?" And the little girl says, "Oh, it's the pastor. Every Sunday he speaks love, love, love. That's all he ever preaches. I get it. I'm not going back again." Annie Scott read that beautiful passage from 1 John about God and God's love and how deep it is. And how we are to respond to it. God loves us, and we are to love each other. And you know, it seems like that silly little girl was absolutely right. Love is the basis of what we preach. The Bible is about love from Genesis to Revelation. From the very first book of the Bible to the very end, the whole thing is about God's love. And it shows us the nature of God, who God is. And there's a quote by Simone Weil that I love. And she said, "God is love the way an emerald is green." I'm going to say it again because I love it so much. God is love the way an emerald is green. In other words, the greenness is what makes an emerald an emerald. Love is what makes God, God. If you have experienced love in any way, shape, or form, then you have encountered the mystery of God. And finally, we come to the most remarkable part of this passage in this letter. This wall of hostility was broken down by Jesus when he died on the cross. And what happened there? Well, here's what happened. There were people on this side of the wall who loved Jesus and who counted Jesus as his friend. There were people on this side of the wall that loved Jesus and counted Jesus as friend. But they didn't cross over and become friends with each other until Jesus took down the wall of hostility. And after Jesus' death, these people came together as friends, because they were followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus broke down that wall of hostility between Gentiles and Jews, between Samaritans and Jews, between women and men. And in our day, gays and lesbians, blacks and white, ethnic groups, gender issues, these walls are broken down because Jesus broke the wall of hostility down. And then the good part. These walls were raised up again. The walls were raised up as the church. And the church isn't only a beautiful building like yours. As we know, the church is the people of God. And the church is the place where God dwells. It isn't the only place, but it is a place where God makes God's self visible. And God does that through the care and experience that we give to others. Jesus pointed the way to God's love over and over again. And everything that he did pointed back to one commandment. And you know what that commandment is. It's the commandment that the Samaritan caught hold of. Love your neighbor as yourself. After he was crucified, that wall came down and the people got it. The early Christian church got it. And you know, I can imagine this church, these little house churches. They didn't have beautiful sanctuaries like this. And they were meeting in people's homes. And I can imagine the neighbors going by and looking in the windows and seeing men and women and people of all colors and people of all nationalities, Gentiles and Jews, heaven forbid, in the same room together, giving praise to God. New walls were built, walls that became the church of Jesus Christ. The walls that housed, that became the dwelling place for God. People who believed that they should be, as followers of Christ, people who loved their neighbor, people who loved one another. And this is especially important for us today because we live in times when the civil discourse is not pretty. It's crude at times. It's disrespectful often. It's unthinking. It's uncaring. It's getting worse. And we feel helpless sometimes. What can we do? We're just one little church here in San Francisco. But we must remember that these walls that divide are the very ones that Jesus came to tear down. And Jesus did take these walls of hostility down. We keep trying to build them back up again, but Jesus took them down. These walls are being built thicker and higher than ever before. But friends, we must never give up. We must never stop going back and forth between the walls that are built up in our land and in our world. We must cross them daily, just like Jesus did. We look to Jesus as our example. In this world of distrust and fear and hostility, we need to remember the one commandment that Jesus gave us. Love your neighbor as yourself, just like Jesus did. Amen.